The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. As Jesus came down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they approached the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. Immediately on seeing him, the whole crowd were utterly amazed. And they ran up to him and greeted him, and he asked them, "What are you arguing about?" Someone from the crowd answered, "Teacher, I have brought to you my son, possessed by a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, and he grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they were unable to do so." And he said to them in reply, "O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me now." And they brought the boy to him. And when he saw him, the spirit immediately threw the boy into convulsions. And as he fell to the ground, he began to roll around and foam at the mouth. Then he questioned his father, "How long has it been happening to him?" And he replied, "Since childhood. It has often thrown him into the fire and into water in order to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who has faith." Then the boy's father cried out, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." Jesus, on seeing the crowd rapidly gathering, rebuked the unclean spirit and said to it, "Mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Shouting and throwing the boy into convulsions, it came out. He became like a corpse, which caused many to say, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, raised him up, and he stood up. When he entered the house, his disciples asked him in private, "Why could we not drive out that spirit?" And he said to them, "This kind can only be driven out through prayer." The Gospel of the Lord. The drama of this event was very important in the early church, since, with slight variations, it's also recorded in Matthew and in Luke. Therefore, there's a teaching in here that somehow was very important in the early churches. Keep in mind that in Mark's gospel here, it takes place immediately after the transfiguration. And therefore, there's a reference here. When they saw Jesus, there was something remarkable about him. He had just come down from the mountain, and perhaps the radiation, the sense of extraordinary complexion in Jesus might still have been there when he came down from his transfiguration. So they found him somehow extraordinary when they looked at him. The teaching of this is not meant to lead us into wondering about driving out spirits. It's meant to emphasize the fact that extraordinary things happen only in the power of Jesus Christ. Not through your power or not through my power, but only in the power of Jesus Christ. Short of that, we will always somehow be frustrated. How to heal, how to find meaning, how to find fulfillment, how to find value in life is attached to connection to Jesus Christ. And therefore, he says, this can happen only through prayer. And prayer is not something you do. Prayer is something you allow. You allow Jesus Christ into your life. You live in an awareness of Jesus Christ. You walk in the presence of Jesus Christ. Through prayer, through this connection with Jesus Christ, through this constant sense that I am in God's presence in the person of Jesus Christ, that's when miracles happen. It doesn't have to be the driving out of the evil spirit, but in some way, every one of us, we are challenged, we are perplexed sometimes, sometimes we're overcome, sometimes we are confused, and this type of healing can happen only in the power of Jesus Christ. So how do you walk this day in the presence of God? How do you forgive, overlook the faults of others? How do you walk in peace today? How do you see goodness that's around you today? How do you give thanks to the Lord for the gift of this day? How do you live in the presence of God? That's what prayer means. Prayer means I'm connecting with the person of Christ. Sometimes we begin prayer by we're talking and talking and talking. We're talking to a distant person, somebody who is out there somewhere. But the call to prayer is to first of all connect with the person of Jesus Christ and then engage a conversation in prayer. Connect with God's presence. Jesus revealed in the incarnation, which is in flesh and in blood, in creation, in all that surrounds us. This morning I was out walking and I listened to God revealing in creation, in the trees, in the sky, in the sun, the rising of the sun, in the presence of people that are just coming to life, in the awakening of creation, the sense of God's presence, the incarnation of Christ, the enfleshing, the worldly presence of Christ in all things that surround us. That's the teaching here. Walk in prayer. It's not the prayer we do. It's a condition of prayerfulness. There is no prayer unless we have a condition of prayerfulness, unless we have this awareness, a disposition, an openness to God speaking to us and God revealing to us, an understanding of the burdens we have in life, an embrace of the challenges we have in life, and to see in everything that happens somehow an invitation to enter into this awareness of God's presence. That's the teaching of this event. It's dramatized in this boy who is possessed, but we don't meet people who are possessed like that. But the teaching, prayer, walk in the sense of prayer, and you will walk in peace in God's presence. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer. And in our own simple, humble way, we pray for the people of the Ukraine and for some sanity to spare the lives of so many people, to avoid this great, great conflict. Let that be a prayer. I mean, if people could sense God's presence in other people, we would have no wars. Greed would be set aside. I mean, the sense of God's presence. For that we will pray today. Amen.